You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. Find the Fruit is definitely a hit mobile game.
Yes.
For sure. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Game Scoop. I'm your host, Scoop. Damon Hatfield. The first Game Scoop of 2017. With me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Brian Altano.
Bruh.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the big video game anniversaries coming up this year. Ooh. In 2017. We're going to talk about the upcoming M-rated games on the horizon. I'm going to quiz you on their on the reasons why they got
I love this.
Their rating.
Great.
But first, Chris, we're just back from holiday break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's time to clear up the air that Sonic is actually a pretty good series and has some good
games. We're doing that? We're going to do that again?
All now right. That Jared's here, we can finally admit that we all just could not stand him.
Yeah. God. Okay. You could be too nice is the problem.
No, I wanted to know if you guys got any video game related gifts over the holidays.
Well, so I built in November, I talked about it on the show, yeah. I built a gaming PC, and like a lot of gaming PC builds, it ended up being a little bit pricier than I wanted to be. I didn't go completely ham on it, but it's like, well, if I spend 30 more bucks on this and 20 more bucks on this, so I went a little bit out of my budget, and so that ended up being, like, that was my big Christmas present in November, was I built a gaming PC that should last for many, many, many years.
Yeah, and you've been enjoying it?
Oh, it's great. It's the best.
How about you guys?
Nope. Nothing.
No,
Since I got this job, and it's like this is the easiest thing in the world to complain about. But people stopped giving me video games because they're like, oh, you guys have them at work. And I was like, but I love opening video games on Christmas morning.
I miss that too. I totally know what you mean. Like, you'd be like one or two a year when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
And then when you're in college, maybe three or four.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, and like you'd really count on Christmas to get a game.
Yep.
And it was a tough decision to make and something to ask for.
I had a whole, my birthday is in early February, and so my system was, that was like my second shot.
Yeah.
Like whatever I didn't, I'd have a big Christmas list, and if I didn't get Double Dragon, didn't get this, then birthday was like my second chance to get what I wanted.
So I got two games for Christmas, and like you guys, I after a while of working at IGN and not getting games for Christmas, I missed that feeling, so I've started reserving a couple games to be like put on my wish list.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So I got Persona 4 Golden.
Oh, nice.
Vita. Because I never played it.
And you have a Vita?
I have a Vita.
Right. I want to play that on Vita. I don't have a Vita, though. I should borrow one and play it.
Yeah, that's great. So Andrew Goldfarb will be very happy to hear. It'll be my first Persona game.
It's supposed to be like one of the best RPGs ever.
Yeah, it is the highest rated Vita game.
I didn't think it was that great.
Well, okay.
Justin got some haterade for Christmas.
Yeah.
I also got an import PS4 game. I got
Puyo Puyo versus Tetris.
Ooh.
Nice.
Finally, those two were battling again.
Who's going to win?
Well, we're going to find out. But I love Puyo Puyo games. This is a new Puyo Puyo. And since it's a puzzle game, I don't think any knowledge of Japanese language
Puyo
is required.
Puyo Puyo, which bubble series is that?
That's the Sega one. Well, Compile.
It's the two bubbles, right? The sets of two?
Yeah,
sets
they're of following two. Down okay. the jellies, flying down
Do
the screen.
Do we have that in
colors.
The arcade machine out here?
I'm not sure if we have a Puyo like Puyo. One of the... There's like 10 Puyo Puyos that have been released over the years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But different really from Bust a Move and...
Yes, you're not shooting the bubbles up. They're falling down. Like Tetris style.
One of those.
And the like color jellies will join together to create longer jellies.
Yeah. So I didn't really get any video game Christmas gifts, but I ended up having sort of a video game Christmas because I brought home an NES Classic.
There you go.
Nice.
And my brothers, who are sort of like, they grew up watching me play video games and playing video games with me. They're both younger. I have two brothers. They don't really play anymore because they're adults, you know, and they don't get to do what I do for a living. They have real jobs. And I brought it home and hooked it up to the TV, which is very hard to do because it turns out like, parents don't have HDMI. TVs with HDMI connectors.
Yeah. My dad doesn't.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I totally know.
I was like, this will work. Nope, not a thing.
Every year I'm like, Dad, you got to get a new TV. It's like an old it's a box. It's like as big as this table.
Like it's got the big butt on the back of it.
Yeah. We replace every 8 years or so. We get our parents. Like, it's their Christmas present from us.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
I guess we could give our parents our old TVs.
Yeah.
So I set up the NES Classic, and my brothers started up Punch-Out. And just like having not played that game in like 15 years, just ran through like the first 9 boxers in that game.
Yeah.
And like I play video games all day, you know, for a living. Talk to my friends about it all day. I don't think I could do that. Yeah. Like first of all, Punch-Out was always like the weird, like rare, elusive NES game that I've never beaten. Like I just have never beaten that game.
I don't know if it's possible to beat it as an older person.
As an old man? Yeah,
well,
I don't think so either.
You can beat Super Macho Man. But Mr. Dream or Mike Tyson, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I
got
messed up my bubble too.
Save states. Like I tried to do it with save states, and it was still. Really
but even then,
hard.
You're like inching along, hoping not to get punched. Yeah. So they had a really good time with that, and I was playing The Legend of Zelda: Second Quest. Like, it was just really. Cool. I'm kind of bummed Nintendo didn't have those everywhere for moments like that, because I think a lot of people could have had holidays like that.
Dude, Punch-Out's such a great game.
Yeah,
great game. Good game.
It looks good too. You still can't get NES Classics. There's still about 150 on eBay.
You know what?
Really?
Wow.
Punch-Out makes me think about, like, if you haven't heard a song in a decade, and if someone's like, hey, what are the words to that song? You'd be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then if you hear half the song, then you know, it like, puts you back in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, now I know the other half of the song. And that's how Punch-Out is for me. Like, if you're like, what's the pattern for the Great Tiger or Soda Popinski? I'm like, I don't know, man.
Especially because Punch-Out only has one song.
No, but I mean, like, if... I'm not talking about the music.
Yeah, of course.
So if you were to say, what's the pattern for Soda Popinski? I'd be like, I don't know. But, like, if I played through the game, I promise you that, like, I could destroy that entire
Isn't that
game.
Weird? It's like muscle memory. I was like, watching two people just get that back in their heads, and all of a sudden, I'm like, there's something really magical about that.
I think about Punch-Out a lot.
Yeah. It's a great game.
Nothing wrong with that.
One of the most violent puzzle games ever made.
Yeah. I didn't play it back in the day. I only played it recently, and I love it.
It's a great game. Yeah. All right, so Brian, you played a bunch of old NES games over your break. Sam and Justin, what did you guys play over break?
Well, I played a lot of Pokemon XY because I didn't bring my console back home with me. Mm-hmm. My console, so I played that, and then I've been playing. I'm just such a sucker for Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm playing so much of that game.
Still
and
like
I brought home this like stack of other things to play, and I would play a little bit of them and go back to Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I caught up on some of our Game of the Year nominees. So I played through Batman, which I think is nominated for Best Story and probably Best Adventure Game. I really liked it. I didn't think it was exceptional. To me, it's like a solid 7 out of 10.
Sure.
It's like the video game equivalent of a page-turner. Like, I'm invested in the mystery, but, like, I don't know. Telltale's shit is, like, getting a little old.
Did you play Batman VR?
No.
I think that looked cooler. There's all these Riddler trophies and stuff.
Yeah. I had a really good time with that.
You played that?
Yeah,
I loved it. Did you do the trophies?
Yeah, I did. They are...
There's like 30 of them.
They're really hard to get. So the problem with the Riddler trophies in Batman VR is like, there'll be like one under the table in the game. So you physically are like on the floor, like reaching down, being like, how do I... And you don't actually do it because I did a lot of weird contorting to try to find trophies in that game. Like with my real actual body.
I also played Titanfall 2.
Nice.
What's the My Mom Hid My Game?
Oh, the mobile game?
Yeah.
Was that from Christmas break?
Yeah.
There's just this neat... Crap, what's it called? I'd love to name drop it.
Yeah.
Remind me next week, because I don't recall the exact name.
It's Mom Hid My Game, but it's in broken English.
Yeah. And it's on the App Store. It's on iOS and Android, and it's just a really, really funny, stupid, free puzzle game.
But that sounds awesome. It reminded me of...
A mom hides your DS, and then you have to find it.
and it starts breaking the fourth wall in really weird ways.
Oh, that's my parents used to do that all the time.
It starts out normal.
Oh, yeah.
Where would they
it
hide
starts
it?
Out normal, all but over then the place. The DS is hidden in like an alligator's mouth, like four levels in, and you're like, what? Yeah. What is this mom doing?
No, I got into trouble all the time as a kid, and my parents were like, oh, it must be video games' fault. Mm-hmm. And they would take my controllers or my NES or the games and hide them somewhere in the house and be like, you're grounded. And then they would go out to like the store or something, and I'd find it because I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
And then I'd just play all afternoon.
Yeah, I think my parents ever did anything for me.
They always hid it in the same spot. So once I found the hiding spot once, they'd be like, I'm taking your controller. And I'm like, oh, dang.
Yep.
But then I just knew where they were forever after that.
Pretty good.
They also took the computer mouse. I would get grounded from the computers, and they would take the mouse but leave the keyboard. And you can actually like tab around and open web browsers and stuff using just the keyboard. And so I did a lot of that growing up, too.
I played three main things over break. Like Sam, I played a bunch of Final Fantasy 15. 30-some hours, Chapter 8 is where I am. I don't know if I'll finish the game. I think I've decided that...
I'm kind of in the same spot as you because that's not very far in the game chapter-wise, but it's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
So that just means you're screwing around a lot. That's what I was doing.
Well, I think I've decided I really like the combat. I think the combat is a lot of fun, but I don't care about anything that's happening or the story.
Right.
Or what about the date?
So it's like... I mean, that you do go on a date,
Here's the thing about that date. You can choose to be nice or mean to the girl on the date, but then the dialogue, if you choose to be nice, between those choices is all mean.
Oh.
So it's like, so he's nice when you choose him to be nice, and then she'll like talk to you, and he'll just be like, eh, whatever. Yeah. Like, all the incidental dialogue, he's him being a jerk.
His heart is promised to someone else, Sam.
Right.
Yeah. Those two dogs, right?
Yeah, the dogs. I also played a lot of Invisible Ink, which was free on PlayStation Plus last month, and that's a really fun turn-based strategy game, corporate espionage game. But the game that I spent the most time with over break that I had the most fun with was this new tower defense game on iPad called Dungeon Warfare.
Oh, I know that game.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's actually been available on Steam, I think, for a couple years now. It came to iPad last year, and they're running a sale over the holidays. It was $2.
That's when you push them into pits and stuff, right?
Yeah, you're like the demon overlord that runs the dungeon, and the heroes are spilling in trying to get into to steal your treasure, and you have to build traps to keep them from it. Well, it's super fun.
What's it on?
I played on iPad, but it's also on Steam, probably Android.
I've always wanted to play a game like that.
Yeah, I played a lot of that. It's top-down.
It's really good.
I like that you can... It is tower defense because you're making lanes for them to walk through, but then you build a bunch of traps, and so you can be really smart about, like, you can squish them by putting two blocks together that'll just smash them.
Yeah, you can push them into pits of lava.
Yeah.
There's a hook trap that'll, like, shoot out and grab them and then pull them into a pit. It's really fun. And then there are runes that you can add that will modify the game rules and either make them easier or harder. So when I play tower defense games, I try not to let anyone get to the base. And there's a rune in there that reduces your health to just one, but then gives you a bonus 50% experience points. So I get to play the way I want to play and earn extra experience points.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. Dungeon Warfare. I recommend it.
I actually I didn't play that many video games over break because I had an anime break.
Do you watch Yuri on Ice?
I watched Yuri on Ice.
Everybody's watching it.
And so all the anime girls here in the office love Yuri on Ice so much. So I watched it, and then that got me on an anime kick, so I watched Death Note and watched a bunch of other stuff too.
Is Yuri really good? That good?
I don't like it as much as them.
Okay.
It is like, it's a beautifully animated show. Like if you watch that and then watch like a cheaper anime, like you can just see like just the quality of how it looks. I really can appreciate the, just the artistry of all of that, but, I'm not as involved in their romance as maybe some people are.
You should watch Food Wars.
Yeah.
Watch
I know Food you Wars like next. That one a lot. That's on my list.
All right, let's move on. Looking ahead at 2017, the year that we are in right now.
Yep.
I've got a list of the big video game anniversaries that are happening this year. So starting with games that are turning 10 this year, games that came out in 2007. Would you believe the original Assassin's Creed
is 10?
You're a liar.
10 years old this year.
Wow.
So you were working at IGN when that came out.
I was. I was in my second year.
Did you like Assassin's Creed when it came out?
No, the first one was not
no good.
Very good.
Yeah,
I liked it when it came out. I liked it at the time.
Second one's the business.
I mean, I think I understood its ambition. I hadn't played the second one yet, obviously.
But I remember people that didn't play games that had a system would buy that game just because it was beautiful.
Yeah,
like I remember being like, that game is the best graphics. Like,
yeah, it was a really good. It was a good like showpiece. It was a good game to show off
and easy to control. You know, all you had to do was hold the trigger, and he would Altair would clamber up everything.
Yeah, that's kind of the first game that did that.
Like now every game does that, but that was like the one that innovated that.
So it's
the
not
win button.
It's not even confirmed that we're getting the new Assassin's Creed game this fall, right?
Well, there's been some leaks, but Ubisoft has not officially announced the next Assassin's Creed game.
This is the first time they've skipped a year in a very long time.
They skipped last year, Well, not ever.
Oh, really?
The first one was in 2007. Two came in 2009.
Oh,
so
man.
2008
and then
is the
they
only
started
year.
Doing the named ones.
Then they annualized it. Yep.
It was Brotherhood.
Wait, yeah. Brotherhood's secretly the best Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. What about, remember there was a 3DS, or two, a DS one.
Yeah, there
remember
were a couple,
that was
yeah.
like a weird isometric angle.
Oh, weird. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if Ubisoft has anything big planned this year. The movie totally tanked. The movie lost about $40 million.
Yeah,
did anybody see it?
No.
I kind of want to see I like bad movies. I kind of want to see it.
You'll see it on a plane one of these days.
I always watch
it. The sound will be off. You'll be watching on someone else's screen.
I watch half of Batman v Superman on one plane and then half on a different plane like a month later.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's hilarious.
It
the
is.
The movie is hilarious.
It is. No, I think it's so bad that it's funny to watch.
Oh, I had so much fun
it's
watching
just
it. Like, I get a little
so
bit bored
long.
During the worst Marvel movies, but that, man, that kept my attention.
Yeah.
Man.
I clapped every time there was a horse on screen, which happened probably six more times than I thought would happen.
A lot of horses
in that film.
Also, turning 10 this year is Mass Effect. You'll remember 2007 was a great year for games.
Yeah.
Mass Effect, Xbox goodness. Exclusive at launch.
Yeah. Was it originally
really?
Xbox yeah, exclusive? So. I think today we just got the
release
date. Yeah. Elevator loading screens.
Yeah, like shifts like this.
I'm still hung up on Altano clapping whenever a horse comes on screen. I like the idea that you do that in any context in any movie.
Yeah, every movie, yeah. I was insufferable during Seabiscuit.
Lord of the Rings.
Just the whole film. Oh my God, another horse.
Yeah, so we got confirmation on Mass Effect Andromeda's release date, March 21st.
Hyped. Mass Effect, I remember, was kind of promised as this big open exploration game. And it totally was like, you know, a linear game, kind of go back to planets, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. And I don't even think this Mass Effect is going to be that. But one day,
someday,
there's
going
to be a
Mass
Effect where it's like, you can jump around to planets and all these solar systems. It's going to be so cool, and they're all going to be great. I think No Man's Sky was that game, but without the rest of it.
Yeah.
What if they had No Man's Sky as the exploration part of just the mini game exploration part instead of the mining planets crap?
Yeah. Well,
that should just be what that is.
Fun. I did a lot of mining planets back in the day.
Dude, so did I. But the Mako, I think, was better than the mining planets.
If you love mining, you'll love No Man's Sky. That's the thing you do in that game a lot.
And I do love it.
Good.
I liked
and I like Sonic the Hedgehog too. I think it's a really fun game.
Probably the best game ever made. IGN.com.
I think Tails is really fun to play as two player.
I found out a thing at PSX now that we're talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, but did you know that his Tails are a completely separate sprite?
No, I didn't
it's
know
not
that.
One sprite. It's
did
just
you know the sprites in Punch Out are extra big because of hardware in the cartridge?
No, I didn't know that.
They had to make a different video game.
I thought they were separate sprites because like the arms would be separate sprites from the body and stuff, and they would trick the NES that way.
Mm-hmm.
It had custom hardware in it. That's cool.
But for Tails, those Tails, man.
Yeah,
they
it's
spin,
like a separate.
They spin like this.
Yep.
Did you know his name is actually Miles?
Tails per hour.
Yeah.
Per hour.
Yeah. Miles per hour. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Miles, Tails per hour.
I'm going to go home and cry.
Per hour. I didn't get that until like 5 years ago.
BioShock turns 10 this year.
Oh, wow. Damn. That's awesome.
And there's a couple of these on this list that I thought they maybe missed. They jumped the gun a little bit with their like remasters or re-releases because the collection came out last year and maybe they should have waited until their 10th anniversary.
So wait, like 2017 looks awesome, but 2007 seems like a tough year to beat.
I mean,
BioShock was the first game. It has a special place in my heart, not just because it's an excellent game, which it is, but it was the first game I played on my new HD television.
Yeah.
And, like, I had a boxy square SD television in 2007. That's the year I got my first HD TV. Yeah. It's a little late, but that's the year that I jumped in.
I got one that year, too.
And so I played half that game on, like, my old screen and got my new screen. And it's just like, just like, not only is it twice as big, but it's actual widescreen and high res now.
Yeah. That game was really colorful in a time where a lot of the Assassin's Creed gears and stuff like that, they're all very gray.
Yeah. It's true.
And we're never going to have, like, I went from a 720p to a 1080p TV. Yeah. Eventually, someday, I'll get a 4K TV. But I think that jump from SD to widescreen HD, like, I'm probably never going to experience that again.
I mean, especially the first 10 minutes
I
of
guess
that
VR
game.
VR is kind of like
VR
that.
VR is kind of like that, yeah. The original Crackdown.
Oh, dang.
Those orbs.
Are we getting a sequel this year?
Man.
We put it on our list, but
it's totally gone dark. That game has totally gone dark.
There's something.
Crackdown 2 is really, really difficult for me. I did the guide for it, and it sucked.
Crackdown
2 is
bad.
I remember you doing that guide.
It was brutal. Yeah, we had started at the same time.
It's a candidate for most disappointing sequel.
Yeah.
A game I spent a lot of time with in 2007. Turning 10 this year is Peggle.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I remember you being the biggest Peggle fan. Yeah. And you had that Peggle mug?
Yeah.
For years. Rest you just lost it. R.I.P.
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple years now since
I thought that was a victim of 2016.
Mm-hmm. No. Remember that game, the original Overlord?
Yeah.
That game was really fun. That came out in 2007.
Overlord.
You're the bad guy.
You're a dark
and there's
lord.
Like
and
minions.
Then
it's
control
like
the minions.
It's like Pikmin.
Oh, right.
It's like evil Pikmin.
It's not minions.
No.
As we know
but
them
they
now.
Are your minions. No.
They were called minions.
They're little imps, and you go around. It's really funny. You're a send-up of hobbits and all the rest.
Was that a downloadable trash. Game, or was that a
No, it was a full game. Yeah. Okay. Full retail release. I think 2007 is still before the big downloadable game explosion. Mm-hmm. Skate came out in 2007.
My first written piece ever for IGN was that strategy guide.
Oh, oh really?
Mm-hmm. IGN That's fans awesome. Still, you know, anytime you write an article about any skateboarding game, they want a Skate. What is it? Did Skate 3 come out, or is that,
yeah,
is
skate
that what
they 2
want?
And 3 both came out.
Okay, so they want yeah. another Skate. Skate 4, I guess.
Skate is so fun.
Yeah,
what
I don't
a great
understand.
Game and great music in it. Yeah. It was awesome.
I don't get how that franchise just went away.
It got a little bit cheapy and weird, yeah. and then I think it was at the same time as like Tony Hawk mm-hmm. came back and it failed. And just well, yeah. I don't know, skate games.
You think Tony Hawk killed the skate franchise by making bad Tony Hawk games?
Remember that?
Yeah,
Tony Hawk Ride.
The ride.
It was full of technology.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Odin Sphere came out in 2007. Switch,
yeah,
again, they
played that.
They put out that remaster last year, which is really good. But
wait, what platform is the remaster on?
Vita and PS4.
I have it on the back of my list as like a game that I had a million games I was going to check out over Christmas break and played none of them.
Well,
but it was on my list for Christmas break. I definitely want to get around to
it. That's a good one. Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, dude.
Man, IGN's game of the year.
Came out in 2007.
I was at the launch event for that at the Nintendo World Store, I believe, mm-hmm. in New York City. And
did you get Electroplankton while you were there?
I got hypothermia practically when I got there. It was like really, really cold. I remember that. That game was incredible when it first came out.
Yeah.
I mean, it still is. Incredible. Like, there's a couple of like wonky motion control things in that game, but for the most part, like that, I can't think of the last time I played a platforming game that just was that incredibly impressive from top to bottom.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of platforming games since then. 3D.
It's a true design like masterclass. Like that game's going to be around 10, 20, 30 years from now and sit right alongside Mario World and Mario 3.
The first time you do like a long jump or a triple jump in that game and you end up on like going around the planet is like there's nothing else like it.
It just feels
it's
good.
So cool.
Catching
so,
those rabbits kind of sucks though.
Yeah, that was really bad. It's always sucked. I hate those rabbits.
So hopefully they'll bring that back for the Switch. I'd love just a sort of
HD remake.
A 10th anniversary HD remake.
That would be awesome. And just Switch. Like portable, play it on a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be totally down with that.
The original Uncharted is 10 years old this year.
Wow.
Yep. Okay, yeah, 2007.
Right?
2007. We're not beating that
this
year.
We're not even done. Halo 3.
What?
Came out that year.
We did all this for History of Awesome, and 2007 is one of the games that we earmarked as like, there's an argument to be made that it's the best year ever for video games.
Zelda Phantom Hourglass came out that year.
I really love that
game.
Yeah, me too.
10 years old. I like the art style.
I like Spirit Tracks a lot better, but I really like those games. So people got frustrated with them.
I don't like
it. I like the dungeons better in Spirit Tracks, but I think I like the overall game better in Phantom Hourglass.
Phantom Hourglass is a terrible big single dungeon.
Yeah, but it also has that giant like open world. Hard, I mean, it's got a whole ocean. They have a DS shaped island in that game. You can
there's
visit.
A puzzle in that game that everybody gets stuck on, and I got stuck on it. Yeah,
it's close.
Where it's just giving you all these hints about don't you see an image backwards? Don't you see an image backwards? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to close your DS and open it up again, and it prints the image forwards.
Did they fix
on
that
the bottom
when they,
screen?
They ported it to Wii U. How do they handle that puzzle?
I have no idea.
nobody
push
knows.
Your Wii U against your television.
Well, I was just gonna wonder. Like, my memory is that I didn't care for Phantom Hourglass or Spirit Tracks. Like, that's kind of when I fell off of the Zelda franchise in general, because then I skipped the Wii U one.
Yeah. You mean Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, those two DS games, then they didn't, and they didn't feel as special, and I just didn't play them. But now I'm kind of like, well, maybe I should go back and give them another shot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll pick them up on the Wii U. My Wii U is still
any Zelda game. I think they're like $10. Better than most other games.
Even like the worst Zelda games are still really good.
I also just really didn't care for the touch controls.
You're not talking about the CDI games.
I love those games.
No, although I would love to play those. We don't have them here, do we? Those games are really expensive.
CDI.
I mean, I even played through that 4-player one last year.
That game's
one.
Great.
I played by myself. It was really hard.
I played it by myself, too.
I was like,
what are we doing?
Wii Fit is 10 years old.
I have a long train ride.
That means the balance board is 10 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
The World Ends With You.
Mm-hmm.
I played the...
Whoa.
The hair. It's just silly. It's silly. I mean, it's fun. Yeah, I like it.
I think people like that.
I know
they do. I'm not
people always like wrote that game out like T-W-E-W. Yeah. It was like T-W-E. T-W-E.
T-W-E. I played that game on mobile. Square Enix, or I don't know that they were responsible for the port, but someone, you know, ported it to mobile, to iOS, and it's actually really, really good. I would have thought it would have been impossible, because if you played that game, its whole conceit is the top and bottom screen. Like, there's separate stuff happening on the top screen and bottom screen. And they totally made it work. Like, when you play it on iPad, you don't feel like you're missing anything. Or it was a really, really great way to... I played it on both consoles, and it was excellent on mobile.
Hey, you mentioned Halo 3. I think that might be my favorite Halo game, but
me too.
Sometimes I feel like I liked Reach a lot. I know people hate on that one.
Me too.
I like when you go from the sky or the ground to the sky in that one mission. It's great. But Halo 3 is really fun.
Wow. 3 is my favorite.
The Orange Box is 10 years old.
Oh, what? Man.
That was the same year?
I remember the discussions around... Like I remember because I wasn't at IGN at the time, but I remember reading a bunch of different sites were debating about whether that could be Game of the Year or not.
Yep, yeah. We did. Because, IGN did.
Yeah, because it had Game of the Years in it.
Yeah,
like
new stuff was Portal and Episode Two
and Team Fortress 2.
What a crazy value! Yeah. There's never been anything like it.
Yeah. That's
plus,
insane.
I mean, plus all of Half-Life 2 and Episode 1.
Like what? How do you just drop a disc that has a bunch of awesome classic games on it, but also a bunch of brand new games on it, like Portal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What?
Especially the company that came up with Steam.
Yeah.
It's
just weird.
I mean, the Orange Box, Portal, so I got the Orange Box, you know, like everybody else, I got it mostly for Episode 2, and then no one knew what Portal was.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put yourself back in the mindset 10 years ago. Nobody had ever heard of it. Nobody knew what this thing was. It was just this thing included on the Orange Box. And so playing that game blind, you know, sort of like Bioshock or like one of those games, like I did it in one sitting. I beat Portal in one sitting because just you start and you can't stop and this AI is taunting you. And then when you leave, spoilers, when you break out of the facility, like I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like I'm like, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I breaking the game? And then you find out it's part of the game and she keeps talking to you and like... Like, again, it's one of those things in the 10 years since Portal was so influential that, like, lots of games have sort of had that feel, like the Talos Principle and The Witness, and lots of games have sort of given you this peek behind the scenes. But I'd never played anything like that with Portal, and I wasn't expecting it when I played Portal. And so that feeling was just great. And then it ends on the song, and oh, man.
The song and the cake and everything. That game was, like, the source of so many memes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like stuff like the cake
and
the is a lie.
Companion Cube.
Yeah, the Companion Cube. That's so, like, cringy now. But, like, at the time, like, it was just...
Oh, yeah.
That song was stuck in my head for the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
It was just, that's all I heard.
Yeah, that was, like, just... an amazing treasure to just be like, oh, this feels like a little like offshoot game that a bunch of people made in their spare time with this extra gun.
Wait, was Rock Band this year?
In 2007? I didn't include it on my list, but it sounds
I was
going to
say, I remember
right.
that was a song in Rock Band. And that
that sounds right.
Would that have also been?
It's 2008.
Might have been next year.
Man, that game was so fun.
I wish, like, Portal is one of my games that I would most like to just wipe from my memory and go through
and try again
for the first time.
And finally, a failed experiment that was a little ahead of its time. Turns 10 years old this year, Shadowrun. Remember the Xbox exclusive?
Yeah, I remember it.
Well, that's like totally like, that's Overwatch a decade before.
It was multiplayer only. Yeah. At the time, we were like, what are we supposed to do with this? There's no single player. And today, that's like all of the rage.
Well, not only was it multiplayer only, but it was also class-based, like a lot of really weird, strange classes with weird, strange powers, you know, that you had to work together as a team. And I remember, the only thing I remember about that game was there was a healing tree.
Yeah.
There was one class that could make a tree that would heal the other characters. And like nobody knew, like if that game came out today, it'd be free to play and would have been a big hit.
It's 10 years ago.
I have always had a soft spot in my heart for Shadowrun. People were also really mad, not just because it was multiplayer only, but Shadowrun was a beloved, you know,
like RPG.
Yeah, RPG series,
and they turned it into this
turned into this shooter. Yeah, but I don't know. It got a really bad rap, unfairly.
Two notable games are turning 15 this year. So 2002 was Final Fantasy XI.
The first
also
MMO.
A little bit ahead of his time, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was their first MMO.
I never played. Oh, that's the MMO. Yeah, I was going to say that's why.
I think it lasted a while. Never garnered.
It's still around.
Huge. It's still going. People are still.
And
doing
it was on
Fantasy
PS2, 11. Right?
They're still
they
releasing.
Were able to do
PC, it was on MMO. PC and PS2.
They're running. I have no like stats on how successful it is, but they're running both MMOs concurrently.
Wow. What?
11's still around.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
People are still playing a 15-year-old MMO.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wow.
Besides like Warcraft.
there's a few still around. Like Lord of the Rings Online still around.
That's that old.
What about EverQuest? Is EverQuest still
The first EverQuest is still getting expansions. Okay.
You should do a thing about like the oldest online games that people are still playing.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
We, when Greg Miller still worked here, him and
rest
I were-
Rest in peace, Greg.
Yeah, rip. Him and I were going to play the original EverQuest, like do a Let's Play series where you played EverQuest 1.
Wow.
And to do a little research, I downloaded it. It's awful. Like you can't figure out where, like it's really, really, truly bad.
Wow.
Wait, it's free?
I must have been doing a free trial or something. I'm not sure.
You're saying people are still employed to like create assets or updates for these games?
Yeah, a few.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure it's like some skeleton team that, you know, manages to just churn out, you know, a new continent every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then another Square Enix game, Kingdom Hearts. The first Kingdom Hearts came out 15 years ago.
Never played a Kingdom Hearts game.
Neither have I.
2002, but, there's got to be GameCube games that were out that year that were significant. Animal Crossing?
Maybe. I don't know. You tell me.
Metroid Prime?
Billy Hatcher.
Maybe Metroid Billy Prime. Hatcher. That sounds right.
That actually does sound right.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
That might have been 2000. That might have been 2003.
Might have been 2003.
Smash Brothers was January that year.
No, Smash was early. Smash was the launch game.
It came out. Remember, launch was just Luigi's Mansion and Rogue Squadron, and then Smash came out for the holiday. But I thought it was right after it.
Yeah.
Excuse if it me, wasn't, then it was Mario Kart.
You're forgetting a little game called Universal Studios.
What is that?
It's a game where you go to Universal Studios and you get to go on the rides. That was an actual launch game for the GameCube.
Was it really?
Yeah. It's really bad.
I missed that one. 20 years ago, 1997 was a great year for the PlayStation, the original PlayStation. Yeah.
But nobody cared because Ocarina of Time came out that year.
Shots was fired.
Wasn't that 98?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
98.
Bushido Blade, Iron Hander, Final Fantasy VII, and Final Fantasy Tactics, and Gran Turismo all turned 20 years old this year.
It's weird that Tactics and VII came out the same year.
VII got all the attention when Tactics is secretly the much better game.
Yeah. I think they both, like, if you ask people nowadays, I think people look at those the same, right? Like, I think they remember them both very fondly. But it definitely got overshadowed the year it came out.
What about Banjo-Kazooie?
That was later. But the N64 did have GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, that's what I'm trying to think. Because there was, like, one game a year early on for this.
GoldenEye is 20 years old this year, as well as Star Fox 64.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There should be some.
My entire life just flashed before my eyes. Exactly. GoldenEye is 20 years old?
Yeah, dude.
Yes. Take a deep breath.
And you weren't even 20 when that game came out.
I'm gonna go to bed, cry.
How about this? How about the 30-year-olds? These are the games turning 30 years old.
Don't
this
do
year.
It, man. Don't
it
do
was
it.
A good year in the arcades. In the arcades, we got Afterburner.
This is 87.
1987. Afterburner, R-Type.
This is a tough year in the arcades.
And the original Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Came out that year.
Because it's you know, after the crash, before Street Fighter 2 came out, is a tough time in arcades.
Yeah, they had a very dark few years.
Afterburner, I remember being ubiquitous, though. It was around everywhere. I played in Iowa City when I was a kid at Bonanza.
I remember Bonanza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to have Bonanzas.
Yeah, played Afterburner, they had the cockpit that you sit down in.
Yeah, for sure.
And on console, turning 30 years old this year, hopefully Capcom will do something about it, is Mega Man.
Oh, really? Mega Man turned 30?
Yeah. 1987.
87's a weird year.
Brutal.
It's 88 with the NES. I think 88's like the Zelda, Mega Man 2, Kid Icarus. Like,
yeah,
I think that's the crazy year for the NES.
Yeah, I think so.
It's 30 like, years before Mega Man came out that year. It was 1957.
Yeah.
That's how far we are from Mega Man right now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like midlife crisis, man.
Well, I think about that like with my daughter. Like my wife and I watched Fellowship of the Ring, which is 15 years old now. Mm-hmm. 15 years old. Yeah. Just had its 15th anniversary. So I'm like, that movie came out almost 15 years before my daughter was born. That's the equivalent for me of movies that came out in 1970.
Yeah.
That's what Fellowship of the Ring is going to be to her. And stuff like that just really messes with my head.
That's really crazy because I remember seeing as a kid in the 80s, seeing movies from 15 years ago and being like, this was made 100 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Like when I try to show my daughter like Ghostbusters or something, it's like a movie from the 50s.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, she's not going to want to watch that old stuff.
No.
Nope.
Well, now we all feel weird.
Well, let's talk about some new games, though.
Okay,
let's
all right. Some we're young again.
Games that are coming up on the horizon. We've played this little game before. There's a few games coming up that are rated M for mature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have their ESRB ratings description of the content in the game. And I'm just going to read the content, and you have to tell me what game this is.
This is a deep cut. I remember this game.
Yeah. I like the picture of this dude behind you, by the way.
I thought that was you for a sec.
Yeah. Well, he's like, it's the gore. He can't handle the gore description.
It's just too much for him.
Yeah.
Or, well, okay, never mind.
Yeah. He's doing something else.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read the description of our first game.
This is mature.
This is a description of the content in the game, the reason why I got an M. You tell me what game
this
is.
These are upcoming games.
Yep, upcoming games.
And it makes sense because it's 2017. These are 17 and over games.
Yep, that's actually true. Yeah, that's why I picked this.
This is the year of M+. I'm coining it.
Here we go. This is an action game in which players control one of three factions in a protracted battle for dominance. As players complete mission objectives, feel free to chime in anytime. They use swords, axes, and spears to kill enemy warriors in melee-style combat.
It's rated M?
For Honor.
For Honor.
Nice.
Correct.
Nice work.
Yeah.
I didn't realize For Honor would be rated M.
Oh, I thought the three factions. Well, I'll continue. Blood splatter effects occur frequently as enemies are killed. Some areas depict large blood stains and impaled heads on spikes.
Oh, my.
Players can also perform finishing attacks like decapitation and impalements that are sometimes highlighted by close-up camera angles. Cutscenes depict additional acts of violence, bound warriors decapitated by swords, and characters executed with weapon strikes to the head.
Yeah, that's very M. That is very
it's
M.
It's like Splatterhouse or Chiller. Yeah.
Yes.
Very excited for that game. I played it 2 E3s in a row now. It's one of those games that's been on the trade show circuit. And yeah. I'm glad it's finally
For Honor coming out Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
People are better at For Honor than me.
I'll get it for my sweetie. Oh, yeah. That means I'm never going to play it.
Why?
I'm having that kid.
On Valentine's Day?
Well, no. It's trying to be here. Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. This is the next
that
game.
Kid.
Yeah. Here's our next game. Here's our next M rating description. This is a compilation of puzzle adventure games.
Hmm. Rated M.
In which players follow high school students attempting to escape from a murderous robot bear.
Oh, Five Nights at Freddy's.
No.
A different murderous robot bear?
As players navigate their environments, they sometimes come across corpses of murdered classmates. Players investigate the various crime scenes. Do you know? Looking for clues and interviewing rival classmates. Finding the killer can trigger punishment cutscenes in which acts of violence are depicted. Students killed by a pitching machine, run over by a truck, or crushed to death. There are also depictions of characters getting impaled by spikes and knives.
What?
Blood is frequently depicted on and around dead bodies. Cutscenes also depict female characters dressed in low-cut outfits and bikinis that expose large amounts of cleavage. These still images occasionally depict characters in provocative poses, with the camera focusing on pelvic areas.
What is this game?
Think of the children, Damon.
Some scenes contain sexually suggestive dialogue. For example, creep rubbed his ham hands all over me and called it a body check. More like sexual harassment.
Ham hands.
Another one is, my loins are still full of poison and I'd appreciate it if you could suck it out.
I would say like Friday the 13th, but I keep going back to that bear.
Finally, the words fuck, shit, and asshole appear in the dialogue. Okay. Any guesses?
No, this sounds like a very rude game. You say this is a compilation?
It is, yeah.
There's multiple games?
Danganronpa 1 and 2.
I didn't know they did that. I was even picturing that stupid bear.
Yeah,
that
bear. Was too.
That robot bear. Danganronpa.
Okay.
Andrew Goldfarb would have gotten that.
1 and 2, Reload. Hmm. Coming to your Avita near you.
That's some dialogue.
Yeah.
The first one of those games is another game that's on my backlog.
Yeah. All right, last game. Last upcoming M-rated game. See if you can guess this one. This is an action game in which players assume the role of androids attempting to save Earth from extraterrestrial machines.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Ah, spoilers!
Players use swords, spears, lances, and lasers to destroy enemy robots in melee-style combat. Large explosions and realistic gunfire are frequently heard during combat. Some sequences depict blood and additional acts of violence against human-like characters. Hmm. A man is impaled through the chest with a sword, resulting in large blood splatter effects. Characters lying in pools of blood after getting stabbed.
Yeah.
Some characters wear revealing outfits with partially exposed buttocks. One male character is depicted nude without genitalia. The words fuck and shit are heard in the dialogue.
What happened to that dude's genitalia?
Any guesses?
I mean, all that stuff's definitely in Mass Effect.
This one is like Nier Automata.
Oh my God.
Upcoming JRPG Nier Automata.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Look out for the...
It's a lot of...
I'm suddenly more interested in all three of these games.
A lot of dudes without parts, and then you got some butts hanging out. That sounds like a good game.
So Elder Scrolls Oblivion, not Skyrim, but the previous one. We're all familiar with this game.
Yes.
It was originally rated T... And then there was a controversy, and it had to get pulled from shelves and re-released with an M rating because there's two sides to the story. There's Bethesda's side and the ESRB side. The ESRB says that Bethesda didn't accurately – because the ESRB, I think a lot of people don't realize this, they don't play through like every single game. They get, a video and notes about what's in the game. Like here's the most violent stuff.
The industry self-polices.
Yeah. They submit a thing and say, here's what a sword strike looks like in this game. Here's how bad the dialogue is. And they left out in the Dark Brotherhood quest line, you see a character like disemboweled. It's the most violent part of the whole game. Like he's disemboweled and he's hanging from a noose. And
the thing is, you can see a little bit of his butt.
You can see a little bit of his butt. Yeah. And so because of that, because they said they misstated, you know, the level of violence in the game, that game was pulled from shelves and re-released with an M rating.
Wow. So is the T version worth something?
That I don't know. But if you see a T version, it's just a little bit of history.
Tell somebody.
There. Well, and then there was the, what, GTA San Andreas with where it went, it went from M to adults only, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the threat, right? Didn't they have to release a new version of the game
in
order to retain the M rating?
I don't remember. I mean, it's been so long ago. I thought they changed the rating, and then the game, like, there's all these boxes that have M on them that had a sticker over it that says AO.
Wow. I don't think there's ever actually been an AO game released, is the problem.
Manhunt 2.
Well, there's a few AO games, but they're, like, weird, porny games usually.
Yeah,
that's true. Manhunt 2 was definitely AO.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rockstar one-upped themselves.
Anyway, I have another little game that I want to play with you guys. This occurred to me this week.
Little games.
I found some old NES instruction manuals.
Nice. Ooh, awesome.
I'm going to read you the synopsis of a game from inside the manual.
Are these your manuals from when you were a kid?
No, I found them online.
Okay.
So let's see if you guys can guess which NES game
I love that.
This is. Yeah. And that picture may or may not be of the actual game. Yeah. So I'm going to read the synopsis. This is the actual game synopsis from within the manual.
Yeah. That's Metroid.
And I think it's a game we all know. Here we go. The eight worlds of solar system number 517 are no longer answering communications.
It's Metroid.
No, Metroid. It's Metroid.
It is not Metroid. Okay. You are redacted.
Okay.
A cybernetically enhanced human being.
Mega Man.
Who can run miles at an incredible speed without tiring.
Strider?
Blaster Master.
The Galactic Council of Sentient Races has sent you to the first planet of 517 to find out what has happened.
Hmm.
Right away, you discover that all eight planets of the solar system have been invaded by these serpent beasts and their minions, ruled by the galactic criminal Drax.
What?
Contra?
Your mission is now clear. Yeah. Run through That's all eight guess. Worlds, destroying Drax's minions along the way, until you meet Drax himself.
Who the...
Fortunately, your unique ability has manifested itself into a world-jumping power.
Is it 3D World Runner?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Keywords are Squaring worlds run. You must run through all eight worlds.
Without getting tired.
Yeah.
You know that a lot of these instruction books
didn't work.
Like a lot of that canon was just made up by whoever. The game came over and they got to see the game but wouldn't have any like collateral. And then they're just based off.
I think
imagine playing Contra and then having to write the Contra story.
Yeah, yeah. I think the original the write up for Super Mario Brothers said something about how
insane.
All the toads were like trapped in the blocks.
Yeah,
and you
all
had
the
to free their
Kingdom
souls.
People are turned into bricks. And there's art actually of Bowser doing that.
Yep,
like official art.
They never really revisited that.
No.
Because it's insane.
It's a lot of murder.
Well, and there's
they got threatened with the AO rating after that.
there's also the Birdo controversy in the Mario 2 instruction booklet.
Yeah.
Yep. Or it's not even, it's a misprint too. It's not really, it's confusing because not only does it say he thinks he's a girl, that's interesting, but Birdo and Ostro are switched in their descriptions. So it's even more confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ostro is clearly the ostrich.
Do you remember the thing with it was either Final Fight or Double Dragon with that? It was like Lydia or something or Poison. Yeah. Where it was just like people were like, oh, you're punching a woman in that game. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
That's not a woman. That's
official.
A transgendered person.
Yeah.
Back off. It's okay. Can you imagine that happening now? You'd be like, what? I think that's worse. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, old instruction booklets were the best.
Yeah, really
they
good.
Were so thorough. And like, here's every item in the game. Here's every enemy in the game with sweet art. And you're like, whoa.
Here's how to defeat the enemies. Yeah, 3D World Runner, the final sentence I thought would give it away. It says, for a new experience, put on a pair of 3D glasses and press select during play.
Yeah.
Now all the objects will come at you in 3D form.
Whoa. That's pretty awesome.
It doesn't work.
No.
It's just red, blue glasses. For some reason, you can try them at my desk. It's really weird. It's just red, blue, shifted, display. It should work. Rad Racer had it too, but it just doesn't. I don't know why it doesn't work.
That's odd.
It seems like it should work. It just looks like crap though.
Oh, man.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Brandon Hamilton did. He says, I have recently downloaded Star Wars trading cards on my iPad Pro after hearing Justin talk about it, and I love it. I used to collect them as a kid, and it brings me back. I'm wondering if Justin could maybe talk about the intricacies of collecting and what I should be on the lookout for.
I'm super into that app, by the way.
Yeah, you are too.
We found out a friend of IGN, a fan of IGN, actually is an artist for the Star Wars trading card app. And right before Christmas, he sent us, because Topps also makes physical cards, sent us an entire box of the physical cards. And for the first time since I was like 10, I got to sit around and just open up a bunch of packs of cards.
It's like the happiest I've ever seen you.
Oh, man. It was great. It was like, you know, it's like you don't really get those moments as an adult.
Yeah, I walked by and I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, opening cards. You want to do something? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Didn't you get down and start opening cards?
Didn't you get Porkin's signature?
I got
Akbar's.
I got Akbar's signature, which is also the voice of Bib Fortuna. Which, weird story, I was at Comic-Con in New York two Comic-Cons ago, and I was walking by this little booth, and this very little old man who looks like my grandfather said, "It's a trap." And I was like, I looked over, and it was a guy who does Admiral Akbar's voice, who also does Bib Fortuna's voice, who's one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And I was like, I'm going to get his autograph.
Yeah.
And Goldfarb was like, you totally should. And I was like, well, we're a little late today. I'll do it tomorrow. And the next day he wasn't there. Uh-huh. And 3 months later he passed away. And then I opened up the Star Wars cards and there was his autograph. So it was really cool.
How long have they been sitting on his autograph?
Well,
it's actually just some tops and
points. Yeah. I'm going to make a guess and say he did it before he passed away.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Otherwise, it didn't weird. Happen. Yes, it's true.
But Brandon's wondering about any of tips.
Oh man, you guys have. Goodness gracious, Brandon!
He made some money off of it, right?
Yeah, I actually made a lot of money off Star Wars trading cards. I sold
a
card.
How did you get that house in Marin?
The Topps Millions.
I don't know if I want to get into it too much because
hit Justin up on Twitter for
selling cards is not legal.
Okay.
So if hypothetically you were interested, if you got a super rare card, there might be a market for that on a website like eBay. But you'd surely be breaking the terms of service, and I don't recommend it. Where were we?
Oh, what's the rares?
No, so Star Wars Trading Card. It's a free app. It's what's the actual name of the app? Star Wars Card Trader.
Star Wars Card Trader.
So tell us what the rares are.
Well, but it doesn't. So there's new cards every single day. So you get credits every day. You get 25,000 credits, and then a pack of cards.
Galactic credits.
Yeah, galactic credits, and a pack of cards is usually about 5,000 credits. So you can open roughly about 5 packs of cards a day, and then there's all kinds of rules, and like sometimes there might be a pack of cards that's super expensive but has, you know, rare stuff in it. But that's like a general rule of thumb. So what you want to do is save up all your credits and then just wait until you can do the odds of how many rare cards, which are called inserts, are going to be in a pack. So, God, it's kind of hard to articulate. So,
quick footnote. One of the big things is that you get 25,000 credits a day, but after 5 days, if you do it 5 days in a row, you get 50,000.
Yeah.
So you get like a little spike at the end.
It works out to exactly 200,000 a week.
Yes.
So the way that you want to do this is like every day they'll release new cards. They might say, okay, here's a card. You have a 1 in 50 chance of getting it in a pack, and there's 5,000 of them. Once 5,000 of them have been opened, they're gone. And they'll do that again a few days later, and they'll do that again a few days later. But the thing is, the odds stack. So if you have a 1 in 50 odds of getting this one, you also have a 1 in 50 odds of getting this one and a 1 in 50 odds of getting this one. So if you time it right, there might be 4, 5, or 6 rare cards just waiting to be pulled in these packs. And so that's how I played the game. It's not even a game. It's an app. But I would save up all my credits until like, oh, there's, you know, a bunch of rare cards in these packs. And instead of 1 in 50, I have a 1 in 8 or 1 in whatever chance of getting one because those odds all stack on each other.
Wow.
Interesting.
And that's
so what do the rare ones look like?
They're inserts. So they have, I mean, Altano, you can talk about maybe they have the different sets, like
So they're all based on different styles that the artists either come up with or they're based on classic, actual, physical, tangible Star Wars styles. So you have like the 1970s or 80s or, you know, even 90s design ones. But they also do stuff like autograph cards, which I was like kind of weird about with Justin because I was like, how are there only 100 of these? And he's like, well, they only got 100 autographs from John Boyega and they scanned them all in and you can only get them here. And I don't know if they like threw the actual physical cards in the trash or burned them or whatever.
I think they had them do separate digital signatures.
Yeah, so digital signatures, right?
Yeah,
it's really interesting. So, and then when they're done, and you can't get them anymore. So they actually become really rare. And there's like sticker cards, there's like puzzle cards, hologram cards, and they're all just JPEGs.
Okay, yeah. They don't animate or anything?
Yeah.
Not really, although the packs animate as you open them out, which is pretty cool. It sort of gives me that feeling that I had before Christmas of physically opening packs. And you can go and sort all your cards by how rare they are. And after a while, they get retired, and they introduce new ones. Like Rogue One, as a big Star Wars fan, I actually really like this app because like Rogue One was coming out, and they just put out a bunch of like the weird Jedi aliens, like the guy that looks like the dude from Journey and a bunch of other, like that weird Moroff, that giant Yeti-looking guy.
And who's barely in the movie.
He's barely in the movie.
Half a second. Yeah.
Yeah, but you get a picture of him, and now I have a photo of him on my phone, which is odd, you know. So
they're
cool.
They're always introducing new sets and retiring sets. And when I'm actually not that into the app anymore. When I was really into it about a year ago, they were doing a lot of places of Star Wars, and they did the Hive of Scum and Villainy. They did Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
And so then, like, I have a card for all the weird, sketchy aliens in the cantina now. And, like, if you complete... The way that it works is a set will be however many cards, 8 cards, 10 cards, 20 cards. And if you get the whole set, you get, like, the award card.
Yep.
And so they're always more rare, and that's what encourages people to trade. Like, I'll trade you these 2 cards of this set for those 2 cards of that set because I'm trying to complete my set and get the award card. And so now I have this Mos Eisley award card that's, like, pretty rare. I think the rarest card I have, there's only 10 of in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to. You should take a look at mine and see if I have any cool rare ones, because I'm not. I just like collect them. I don't really trade them or anything like that.
Yeah, you definitely do it a little bit more casually than me at my peak, where I was like, I had a spreadsheet.
Yeah,
I maintained. Yeah. I was way, way, way deep.
I don't really spreadsheet. You're really good at spreadsheets, so I think that makes sense.
I also spreadsheet as a hobby.
Yes.
and for work.
And for work, you love spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Game of the year.
Star Wars card trader.
Right. The last thing I want to say, Topps actually has like an NFL card trader and an MLB card trader. Yep. And I think they did one for
Star Trek, I believe.
Yeah, like the other, it's not just sports and Star Wars. Like whatever Topps has the actual license for, they're doing digital versions of that now. And so it's pretty cool.
Is there a Garbage Pail Kids trader? I want to get into that.
I think there might be, actually.
All right, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
This may or may not be against the Star Wars card trader rules, but you get 25,000 credits every day if you happen to have multiple phones or multiple tablets in your house. You could, in theory, maintain a bunch of different accounts.
You can just spill the beans. You're already going to jail for the other thing.
Yeah. You could get, like, if you had a spouse's iPhone and your iPhone and 2 old iPads, you could potentially getting 25,000 4 times a day.
Yeah, which are all great cheat codes to
and
consider.
Then trade with yourself.
In prison.
Yeah, and then trade with yourself.
All right, it is time to play the first round of Video Game 20 Questions of the year. Our suggestion this week comes from Shane Fool. And you fine gentlemen now have 20 yes or no questions to guess this week's mystery game. Let the questioning begin.
I think there's a hint on the board there.
Yeah, I always look back there every week and I'm like, oh yeah, it's the same thing. Does your character speak?
It's a good one. It's a good first question of the year.
No.
Thought about it for a long time, though.
It's weird.
It's not Chrono Trigger, guys.
Do you play as a person?
Yes.
Like as a human person? Is Persona. That what that means?
I mean, like not an animal.
Okay.
Yeah. So animal, robot, car, ship, all those got thrown in the trash. You're welcome.
Good work. Narrowed some stuff down for us. Now we don't have to ask about hands.
We still might if you can see your hands or not. That was a big thing.
Was this game made before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Is this game before January 1st, 1990?
No.
90s games. We'll remember this game.
Okay.
Is it an exclusive on a console?
No.
Okay.
I always hate when that happens because the neck gets bigger.
Was this a 16-bit era game?
Yes.
All right, multi-platform 16-bit game. Early 90s.
Play as a person.
And you're a man.
And you don't and you don't talk.
You might be a woman or a baby.
Mario. Oh, but Mario's exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Mario's Time Machine.
Vector Man.
He was exclusive as well.
Also not a person.
Yeah.
Even though it says man in the title.
What about Decapitat?
Mega Man is sort of a man.
Does the skeleton count?
Yes. Yes, the skeleton counts as a person.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
If you saw a skeleton walking down the street, you'd not be like, look at that person.
I'd be like, that guy used to be a person. It still is sort of part of a person.
It's like 2/5 of a person. All right.
You need more than just a skeleton to be a person.
That's not true. That's where it starts.
I'm going to ask Damon this just so you can settle it.
No, it's not.
Is a skeleton? No,
is a skeleton a person? Yes.
No, it's
yes,
not.
It is. So what makes a person then?
I'm still hung up on you saying people start as skeletons. That's not actually correct.
Is that last?
People start as skeletons.
People end as skeletons. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. What's going on?
What if there is just a brain? Is that a person?
Like a mother brain?
No, definitely not.
Like
so
that
a brain
Johnny,
is not a person. But
like
a
that Johnny
is.
Depp movie yeah. where he turns into a computer.
Yeah. A brain is an organ. A skeleton is a person.
Is this a platformer?
Yes.
Thanks, Sam.
Okay, so it's I had a good one. Oh, is this game developed in Japan?
No.
Oh, it's an American person.
Well, it's just non-Japanese.
Possible skeleton platforming game.
Let's stop. Rystar?
Hold on. What?
That's
what
a star?
What platforming game starred people?
Wait, Aladdin.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Is this Is this a licensed game?
No.
Oh.
Alone in the Dark. Oh, not Alone in the
Home
Dark.
Home Improvement?
The other one. What was the one that was like, Sam, what was the one that was like Prince of Persia with a cinematic platformer that's like, I keep thinking Alone in the Dark, but it's called something
future,
else. That's exactly, I can't think of it. Home something, future.
Yeah, well, we can get there. That was multi-platform, though.
Do you have a gun?
Oh, that's a pretty good question.
No.
Flashback.
Flashback, you got it.
That's 10.
Mm.
You don't have a gun. Flashback, you have a gun.
Does he get a gun in Home Alone? Question. I feel like he should get a gun in Home
nail
Alone.
Nail gun.
He gets a nail gun.
Oh. Dude, I watched Home Alone.
I watched Home Alone, too.
Did you?
Me, too. You know who else
got
did?
Me in the Christmas
Everybody.
Spirit.
It's on every channel.
Why don't I watch it?
I watch that movie all the time.
I haven't seen that movie in like a decade.
Oh, my God. It's great.
I didn't remember. In my mind, that movie is Kevin's torture house for 2 hours.
It's
the final 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing watching it over the break.
I feel so bad for him, too.
Yeah, me, too. But
he
gets
real lonely.
Alone on Christmas with a weird neighbor.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the ending, so I just think that neighbor is just a horrible person.
No, he was actually both robbers in disguise. A lot of people don't know that. Post-credit scene.
What question are we on, Damon?
Does he have a gun? No. We're on 10 questions.
Okay.
You've done 10 questions. You know it's a platformer.
16-bit.
From the 90s. 16-bit era.
Not Japanese.
Not exclusive.
Multi-platform game.
You're a person.
You're a person. You don't have a gun.
You don't speak.
Not licensed. It's tough.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look at some.
Well,
keep thinking, like,
but we can narrow down developer potentially.
Yeah,
like because we know it wasn't made in Japan. That actually eliminates, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It eliminates
developers are kind of weird. Then I mean, there's like ActRaiser and stuff like that. Meta platforming.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like video games were still a very Japanese thing in the early
90s. Totally.
So
no,
it's like, who was what Western, like, what games were, you know, Electronic Arts making back then? Like,
should we figure out, like, sort of like tone? Like, is it Western or futuristic or?
Well, Western, it could be Sunset Riders.
Is that a platformer?
Sort of.
Yeah. That's more of a beat 'em up.
Yeah, I agree.
Does this game take place in the past?
There's also a million guns in that game.
I can't answer that question.
Cool. Then we get a freebie.
Yeah.
Does it count? Is that question?
No, I won't count it because I can't answer it.
Well, also, like, what was the past back
so
then?
So that's neat because it's got kind of some kind of weird fantasy unrelated to reality game. But you're a person or a skeleton.
And you don't have a gun, so you probably have a sword?
Could be ActRaiser.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sword?
No.
It's
11.
What was the burner?
Alex, not Alex Kidd. The other one, the one... James Pond. Are you a fish in
what
James
about,
Pond?
Like, Adventure Island.
Yeah.
Adventure Island. Was that made in Japan?
Yeah. Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson.
Bad.
This is really hard.
No, the one made by Cliff Bleszinski before Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Commander Keen.
But those have a gun in that game.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's multi-platform.
Yeah.
You don't have a gun.
No, this is a multi-platform game.
It was? Okay.
Should we figure out if you're a boy or a man?
Or a woman.
Or a skeleton.
Or an earthworm.
Earthworms are not people.
Okay.
They're vertebrates. They don't have any bones. Can't be a person.
Can't be a person without a skeleton.
Do you kill? I don't know how to ask this. Do you
kill things?
Yeah, do you kill things in this game?
Yes.
So most games you kill stuff in, so that's a pretty big hint. Yeah. If you don't really kill stuff.
What's the one? Is it Adventure Boy, the one where he's on the skateboard and throws fruit?
That's Adventure Boy.
Wonder Boy is a different one.
But that's only on Genesis.
Wonder Boy's Genesis exclusive.
Well, it can be on like Game Gear.
I played it on Game Gear.
But Wonder Boy's a robot, isn't he?
I don't know.
It's also Japanese.
What?
What?
Why would he be a robot?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't think he is.
Really?
I think he's just Hudson.
Am I thinking Astro Boy?
I think he's just Master Higgins for Adventure Island.
Oh.
Astro Boy's a robot.
What the?
Now, there's still Bonk and Zonk and all that stuff.
Yeah. Bonk is not... is that multi-platform?
Well...
Yeah, Bonk was on NES.
Yeah.
But those are not 16-bit games.
But it's not in the past.
He doesn't have a gun. That's definitely in the past. There's dinosaurs.
But he said it's not in the past.
I did not say it's not in the past. I said I couldn't answer that question.
Yeah, but Bonk is in the past.
What about ninja-based games?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, you'd have a sword in a lot of those, though.
Or shurikens.
And you definitely kill people in ninja-based games.
Yeah, you definitely
I said
people.
You do kill things in the
Castlevania. Yeah, but Castlevania 4? Castlevania 4? Mm-hmm. Okay, is this game part of a franchise?
But no, that's not a multi-platform game.
Yeah. Japan. But I still like the franchise question.
Is this game part of a franchise?
Or is it
no.
Oh, so it never got a sequel.
Whoa, it's the only one. It's the only one.
There can be only one.
It's the only one and it's not licensed.
Even ActRaiser got a second one.
Yeah. Oh, we're in real trouble.
Is this a critically regarded game? Is it a positively reviewed game?
Yes.
Okay.
What happened? Why didn't they make another one?
Yeah, that's what I always want to know.
That's not a yes or no.
This is really hard. This what is really happened? Hard.
Yes. It's probably not that hard. If we just focus, we have enough clues.
We have
to
really,
right
really good hints. Like there's been no big misses in
do
our
we know,
questions.
What are your favorite Super Nintendo and Genesis games? Really good, you gotta figure out.
Oh, it could, well, it's not licensed. I keep coming back to like Simpsons games.
I'm kind of interested if it's on Super Nintendo. You know, because we heard it's multi-platform. Is this on Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 15.
So what are the best Super Nintendo platformers?
Super Metroid, Mario.
Yeah.
Metroid? But that's not multi-platform. Yeah, well, Bubsy.
Japanese made.
Bubsy's the Acrobat.
It's a cat that's a bat.
Home Improvement.
That's a man.
Jurassic Park.
Home Improvement is definitely not a critically acclaimed
Jurassic
game.
Jurassic Park was on multiple consoles and it was made in America.
But you have a gun. You definitely shoot people, and we know what year it takes place in.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a not licensed game.
And it's not licensed.
The not licensed thing's really tripping me up.
Oops. Yeah.
You look like you're just waiting for a high five for the longest time.
With five questions left.
Bring it home.
You guys know it's a platformer from the 16-bit era. Starring a person who does not have a sword, but does kill things.
Are you sure you have a gun in Flashback? Because it meets all the criteria except that.
Sure. Yeah, well, what's the other one that looks like that? The cartoony one.
Alone I thought that was Flashback.
No. There's Flashback, and then there's the one that's like it's all rotoscoped.
Another World.
Yeah. Or something like that. I never played it, but I.
It out of this world. World.
Out of this, out of this world.
Or Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or all those games. It's probably one of those games.
Yeah, Zombies Ate My Neighbors isn't a platformer, but you're in the right ballpark.
How do you narrow this down?
I don't even know what the next question is.
Yeah, we would try to narrow it down with more questions like, is it in the past or is it?
Yeah, but we did that.
Yeah, it could be one of those games for sure. I mean, were those both rotoscoped?
Yeah.
Is this game famous for its graphics?
No.
So it's not one of those.
Not one of those.
This is killing me.
I mean, this is about the point in 20 questions where I give up. We're getting very close.
We have a lot of questions to go, though.
We have four questions. Yeah. We can make it work. We can make it work.
And the graphics aren't that super impressive.
No.
There's still Mega Man.
Yeah, but that's a franchise Japanese. And got sequels and you have a gun.
A one-off. A well-liked one-off where you play as a person.
And Sunset Riders we couldn't do?
Not licensed, not part of a franchise.
I don't even know what type of game that
is. Sunset Riders, you have a gun.
Like, the only one-off person-based platformers I can think of are all licensed. All based off, you know, the Disney movies and stuff like that.
Yep.
You're going to say it, and I'm going to be so mad.
I know.
We've touched on Boogerman. Does that work for any of these?
Maybe it's Boogerman.
Boogerman, did that come to multiple platforms?
Yeah, I had on Super Nintendo. It was definitely on Genesis.
Oh, it might be Boogerman. I don't even know what year that
was. Comic Zone. That was a
Comic beat-em-up. Zone, but that was only on Genesis.
Genesis exclusive.
Yeah. Might That's be why the Super Nintendo thing helps.
I like Boogerman. I think we should go Boogerman.
Boogerman.
Boogerman never got a sequel. There's no Boogerman cinematic universe.
What's a smarter way to narrow it? Are you a superhero in this game?
Yes.
Boogerman.
I think you did it. I think you cracked it.
There's also Captain Novalin, which is a game about having diabetes.
Yeah, but that's not critically acclaimed.
What? I have it. It's rare.
There's also that Super Nintendo game where that guy who smokes cigarettes, you go inside his body. Do you know about that one?
What?
No.
I played a ROM of it a couple years ago. That sounds I'll be great. In jail with Justin.
Yeah. I think Chops jail.
Yeah.
I mean, Boogerman's a superhero.
Nerd jail.
Yeah, I think, do you...
Let's do it. Drop the beat. Let's go for it.
Does this game have gross out humor in it?
Yes.
All right.
Cool.
We did it.
It could be Bart versus the Space Mutants.
That's a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sam, do the honors.
Is this Boogerman?
It
a
is
Pick and Flick Adventure.
Oh, my God.
You could have asked if this was a Pick and Flick Adventure.
Is this a Pick and Flick? I should have done that first.
I'm so glad you're here. I don't think
you mentioned Boogerman like 10 questions ago.
Did you?
Yeah, he offhandedly said Boogerman. And so I was.
Nice
I didn't know
work.
If you were going to get back there to actually.
Super hard.
It, yeah.
Wow, that was a.
That's beyond the cruelness that we usually endure.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But if we had
nice work.
Done
who was that from?
That was Shane Fool who suggested.
Shane Fool, you're Shane Smart today. That
but
was very
Interplay
good.
Developed and published it.
Who did they become?
They're not. They last year they sold off all their video game assets. So they're just. I don't know what they're doing, but it's not video games anymore.
Mm.
1994.
When you retire, you need to start a Boogerman Kickstarter. Yeah. And
they
make a
they did it.
What?
But then they didn't reach their funding.
Oh. No.
Yeah, they announced we're bringing Boogerman
we
back, everybody,
show?
And then it didn't reach its goal.
That's nonsense.
Typical Boogerman. So if this wasn't. All of those other things, but you—if you had said you were an animal, it would be Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, I conflate those games.
You have a gun.
Head all
does he have a gun?
It's totally around that same time period. Yeah,
you're right in that. I don't know what era Boogerman took place in.
Yeah,
in the game. I don't know what year it was.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was if
the year 20XX.
Is it a sci-fi game? And then you asked if he spoke and like. He belches. He belches, but I don't think that counts.
My dad belches the alphabet.
Yeah, so
that's speaking. Yeah. Does he have a skeleton?
I can't say for certain.
What
I've
if
never
it was
seen
all
it.
These things and licensed?
Aladdin.
There are other games.
Well,
Tick was a superhero.
The Tick.
Also, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't know if Boogerman has a skeleton. It just might be boogers.
Yeah.
I got that game for Christmas.
Really?
You can fart in that game. Yeah. So it was really popular on Genesis, but not on Super Nintendo.
Your health is you drink milk, so you can create phlegm.
Loogies.
Spit your loogies.
That's horrible. I like how we started the show being like, I really miss getting games for Christmas. You're like, I got that one for Christmas.
It was actually a fun
game.
It was a good game.
I had it on Genesis. Yeah.
It was very uncommon
it came
for
out
Super Nintendo.
Like a year earlier on Genesis.
Wow.
The Super Nintendo port was late.
It's really pretty, though.
Damn.
So when they announced that Kickstarter to bring it back, I tweeted about how crazy that was. And then someone who like used to work at Interplay saw it and tweeted back at me. Is like, yeah, I was there at the launch party for Boogerman in 1994.
Like, pictures
the launch
happen.
Party for Boogerman.
That's insane. I wonder like what kind of food they served there.
Yeah, it does.
They had like a weird fondue tower and stuff like that. Yeah. Booger burgers.
No. Just lots of milk.
Oh, God.
Plenty of milk on hand.
I'm a well-known milk drinker on record, but the idea of milk at a party,
not okay.
You don't do party milk?
No, I don't do party. I don't do milk at a party.
But you do drink milk with dinner, so what if it was a dinner party?
No.
That's not okay.
Weird that you're so into it, but you're totally embarrassed by it as well.
Don't want to do it in front of anybody.
No, but context, like I would never order milk at a restaurant.
What about that blue Star Wars milk?
Yeah.
Blue milk, Blue Harvest.
I like that shot in Rogue One where they're like, hey, remember the blue milk? Remember that?
Yeah, my wife looked at me and was like, I can't believe you even remember that from that.
Yeah,
it's a whole
everybody.
It's a thing.
But that's not as obvious as the two guys from Mos Eisley.
Oh, my God.
Hey, remember these guys?
Hey, it's us.
They're back.
Dr. Ebazon and Ponda Baba. You remember them? And one of them was like waving his arm. I might lose this someday.
Yeah. Hey, be careful. I'm wanted on 8 systems, remember? Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet.
What about Leia's dad who's just like, hey, I know a guy. He's a good Jedi. And he's been a real,
real
good,
good
boy.
Jedi.
And I have a wonderful lady who I can trust with this secret. Wink, Star Wars.
I like Drogon. I think
I
we all
too.
Like Drogon, yeah.
Good time.
Yeah. That Darth Vader scene at the end.
Is the best.
Spoilers, everybody.
Yeah, but I didn't. I won't get into it.
Yeah, but I mean, he made out with Palpatine for 7 whole minutes. It was disgusting. Half my theater was thrown up.
It puts that first scene, and I immediately went home and watched New Hope.
Yeah,
and the first scene where Darth Vader breaks in, like, I was really scared of that scene when I was a kid, and now I'm scared of it again.
I know, it's really cool.
Because those guys are going to get messed up.
It's also really funny seeing him talk to people, like, in the first scene, because he comes into A New Hope and he's like, where's everybody that I'm looking for?
And
you're like, 5 minutes ago, you were killing everyone. You didn't ask any questions.
Yeah.
You cut a guy through a door.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Star Wars.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. But next week should be a big week for us. Next week, we're going to get all the big info on the Switch.
Oh, that's right.
Nintendo Switch.
Plus, we'll have our Game of the Year to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've gaming here to talk about, but I'm excited about the Switch stuff, Sam.
I cannot believe we're getting a new Nintendo console announcement.
We get release date, launch lineup.
If they
more
show
details,
a Mario game,
we're gonna get the price.
You think we're gonna get the price? Did they confirm that?
I mean, I think this is when they're gonna put all the cards on the table. Yeah.
There's no more time.
I know.
If not now, when?
I don't know. Nintendo's weird. They play this what game in mysterious ways.
What if they're just like we're never announcing the price?
I know.
Yeah.
Just buy
it. What are we gonna do?
Go show up at the store on launch day and see how much it is.
Every store is allowed to charge whatever they want.
I was thinking about that. Like, if we can't buy Switches at launch, like, I straight up can't do my job at work. I don't know. It's like, Nintendo's really gonna send one or two to the office, but we're gonna be fighting over those.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Sure. All right. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Boogerman.
Take a flick adventure.
This is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.